beat reporter, one of the best for the Bruins. Joe Haggerty joins us once again. Joe, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
Now, Joe, before I get to the big secret of the day as far as the starting goaltenders, I was looking at Niklas Svedberg's numbers. He's got a 2.43 goals against, which is pretty much the same as Tuukka Rask's 2.35. He has a .915 save percentage to .920, and he has two shutouts, same as Tuukka Rask. Like, has he been that bad? Like, why are they rushing to get to Subban?
Well, see, the problem is he's a backup goaltender to Tuukka Rask, and his job is, when Tuukka Rask gets a night off, to get the job done so Tuukka Rask gets a night off and doesn't have to work and gets a little bit of rest. And in two of his last three starts, he's been pulled.
Okay.
So Tuukka Rask has played in 23 of the last 24 games of the Bruins dating back to the end of December. And, you know, that's an awful big workload for a goaltender to have to undergo. And it, you know, there are some signs pointing towards Tuukka playing again tonight because this game is so important to the Bruins, and that would mean 24 of the last 25 that he's had to start. And I think really it comes down to, over the last month and a half, the Bruins have lost confidence in Svedberg because he hasn't been able to do his job and get Tuukka Rask some rest. So the numbers look good, and he played well in the first half, but he hasn't been dependable lately, and that's been hurting him.
And it's interesting because I'm looking at his game. He got pulled against Dallas, right? Gave up 3 goals and 10 shots in the first, gets yanked. Then he had a shutout, and then was pulled again. So he got pulled, got a shutout, and then got pulled.
The shutout, he only saw 14 shots against the New Jersey Devils. So
yeah.
It wasn't exactly a Herculean effort on his part.
So Subban, how good is he? Like, I've looked at his AHL numbers. They're pretty good. But, you know, the other goalie in Providence is pretty solid as well. Is this a guy that you think is NHL ready based on what people are telling you?
I don't think, based on what people are telling me and based on what I saw in practice when he was up for 10 days, you know, a couple weeks ago, but didn't get to play, he's talented, he's athletic, he certainly looks like a former first-round pick, but he also doesn't look like he's quite ready to be the guy in the NHL, and I think he needs more time in the AHL at this point, and there's definitely some technique things he needs to work on. His glove hand needs to be refined a little bit. He was late to the goaltending position as a teenager. You know, he hasn't been a goalie his entire life, so I think you still see that sometimes. But clearly the athleticism is pretty impressive between the pipes, too, and it shows that once he gets that stuff down, he could be truly something really special. You know, he deserves a look at this point. I think the Bruins want to take a look at him and see where he's at. But I don't think by any means right now is he ready to be a starting goaltender in the NHL. It takes a long time for these goalies to develop, and the Bruins like to take their time with them. And I think he needs at least another year in the A before he's really ready for regular playing time in the NHL. It'll be interesting to see how he looks, though. It'll be a nice progress report when they do drop him in there to see where he's at.
Joe, the Bruins, they're definitely not the team they were when they were in the Stanley Cup Finals and winning the Stanley Cup, for sure. From the games I've watched, they look slower. Now, maybe it was just a few games I've seen, but is speed a concern for this team?
Yes, speed is most definitely a concern. I think what you've seen this month, you know, they only lost once in regulation in January. It looked like they turned things around, and now all of a sudden they've hit a wall in February and lost you know, to the Rangers, the Canadians, the Stars, the Canucks, the Flames. The common denominator in a lot of these games has been that the Bruins' defenseman corps has withered under the speedy attack of the other teams and has really been had their doors blown off at times by speed attacks from the outside. And just in general, they're not moving the puck up the ice very quickly. They're not breaking it out fast. And you know, there is not a lot of speed on this roster. You know, they got slower when they traded Tyler Seguin and Rich Peverly to Dallas a couple of years ago, and they've replaced those players with slower players. And, you know, the guys that they bring in now aren't necessarily speed burners. Certainly the defenseman core. Zdeno Chara continues to slow down at age 37. Dennis Seidenberg, coming back from knee surgery, is markedly slower than he was before. Adam McQuaid being asked to be a top four defenseman, and he is not the fastest moving guy in the world. Really, the only guys that move the puck with any speed are Torrey Krug and Dougie Hamilton with regularity. Matt Barkowski's in the lineup now. He's actually a pretty fast skater, too. And up front, you know, Paille can skate, but he's had a bad year. David Pastrnak, the rookie, can move, and he's a good skater. But there aren't really a lot of speed burners or above-average skaters among the forwards for the Bruins.
Joe Haggerty joining us. Joe, and you look at the contracts, you know, they got a lot of guys that are older and coming into Krejci's just coming into his contract. I know he's being banged up this year, but, 26 points in 36 games. Obviously, they would like a little bit more production from him, I would think. What do you see them doing moving forward with this team? Are they going to – would they shake up and move one of their core guys?
Yeah, I don't know that they'll do it before the deadline. Yeah. I mean, I know Nick Kiprios he said last night that Seidenberg and Eriksson are being shopped, to get rid of contracts or get some cap relief. And the Eriksson thing, I 100% buy because, there was something cooking with the St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins right around Christmas time with Louis Eriksson and TJ Oshie. It didn't end up getting done, and Oshie has gone, nuclear since then for the Blues, so I don't expect he's going to be available, but I think Eriksson could definitely be had. Now, do you consider him a key part of the nucleus? I don't know. I think any big moves like that where core players are moved, which I think they will talk about, would come in the summertime. And I think, it's getting to the point now where when you watch this team all year, you start to think to yourself, especially when you view it as a team that's up against the salary cap, that, something does need to change. And I think they do need to shake up the nucleus a little bit and, maybe trade a player with a big contract to free up some space. And, they've also got some decisions they need to make. Carl Soderberg, Torrey Krug, Riley Smith, Adam McQuaid. There's a bunch of players that are up at the end of this year that they're going to have to find money for. And also, 2 years from now, Milan Lucic is a free agent, and he's going to command big money in a long-term deal. And I think the Bruins really need to take a long, hard look at that this summer and decide if they're ready to pony up and pay him what he wants for a long period of time, or if they should get out and get some great value for him while he's still in his prime.
Interesting about Lucic. He's already making $6 million. Do you think he's a $7.5 million player?
I don't. And, especially $7.5 million, and he's going to want, like his buddies Tuukka Rask and David Krejci and Patrice Bergeron, he's going to want to get taken care of and have a really long-term deal as well. And, for a power forward, guys that take a lot of abuse and give out a lot of abuse and wear down quicker and slow down quicker than other players do, I'd be real wary about giving him that kind of money for that long a term, especially where so much of his offense is linked to David Krejci as a center. He really struggled this year when Krejci was out of the lineup, and it's part of the reason his numbers are down. If a guy can't make other players better and do it on his own, then I don't know that you can pay him that kind of money.
And that was my question. Like, he's a unique player because he's so big and strong and, can fight anybody if need be. And also, probably, a realistic number, a 20 to 25 goal score in today's game would be his thing. But if he doesn't do other things, like a lot of people talk about his foot speed. You see him every game. Is it an issue at all in your mind?
I don't think the foot speed is an issue as much as, the sort of the motor always going to get the feet going. You know what I mean? He straight line speed-wise, he's pretty good. And, he's not going to be an east-west guy, and he's not going to be a real shifty guy. But once he gets his feet moving in a straight line direction, he can get a pretty good line of speed going. The problem with him becomes when, he tends to not have the highest motor going every single shift. And there are times out there where he's not moving his feet and he's just kind of floating around. And he may be, he's not as fired up for the game as he would be for other ones. And, he becomes a much more ordinary player and sometimes a liability when that is the case. And I think this year, and this is a malady that goes across the entire roster, I think when you look at the Boston Bruins, they are a bunch of winners. They're a bunch of guys that have been to the mountaintop and won. They're used to having a roster that is loaded for bear and going to be able to compete for a cup. And I think players like Milan Lucic now look around at this roster this year, missing key pieces like Iginla and Boychuk and Sean Thornton on the fourth line, and they're saying to themselves, we don't have enough to win. We don't have the proper artillery to go all the way. And I think it's hurt the energy level, and it's hurt the enthusiasm and, some of the bounce that those players usually play with. And I think you've seen more pedestrian shifts or disinterested shifts from him than in the past, because I think that's team-wide that, these players are wondering where they're going to be at the end of the year and what's going to happen to this team because they don't feel like they have the right stuff to win.
Joe Haggerty joining us out of Boston Bruins in town tonight. They have won 13 straight games against the Edmonton Oilers, including not having losing in Edmonton since 2000, albeit they haven't played here every year, of course. But, Joe, looking at the long-term for the Bruins, like if they miss the playoffs, obviously they're going to make some changes. If they go out in the first round, maybe some changes. I remember a story, and it might have been yours, that wrote that Claude Julien, they were on the verge of thinking on getting rid of him. Then he went all the way to the Stanley Cup final and won, and obviously they re-upped him. Where do you think they're at with Claude Julien right now if this season doesn't end the way they want it?
Yeah, if they had lost to Montreal in 2011, he would have been fired. And, you know, he was in trouble, I think, also in 2013 when they almost lost to the Maple Leafs. And it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could have lost his job then if they'd gone out in the first round against the Maple Leafs after a very inconsistent, uneven season. But this coming year, he's in an interesting situation. He just signed a contract extension just a few months ago that starts next year, a three-year deal. So I would expect, even if they miss the playoffs, I would expect he's going to start the year next year, and the leash is going to be very short. You know, if they miss the playoffs, I could very easily see a scenario where Claude Julien comes back for next year, just based on the contract status and also what he's done with the team. This is the first real hard times he's had as a coach with the Bruins since he's been here. They've been in the playoffs every year, and, you know, they've won the division a bunch of times, been to the finals twice. So, you know, he'll start the year next year, but if it's more of the same and struggles again next year, I could see a scenario where he could be in a lot of trouble as far as his job goes. And, you know, Peter Chiarelli is a guy that's come under a lot of criticism lately too because of the Tyler Seguin trade, because the Bruins are in cap trouble, because of the lack of a trade to help this team in the first few months of this year. And I would expect both of those guys would have a long review session with the upper Bruins management after the year is over if they miss the playoffs. I don't think there's any doubt whether it's over the summer or in the middle of next year, you would see somebody be in a lot of trouble and be on the hot seat if they didn't make the playoffs this year.
And Joe, one last one. Looking at it, basically they're battling with Florida and a little bit with Philadelphia for that final playoff spot. 26 games to go, a lot of time in the season. You mentioned how in January the Bruins looked like turned the corner and then the wheels have fallen off in February. On paper, I would think and say, okay, Boston is better than Florida. But that doesn't always see the case. Do you see the Bruins ultimately righting the ship and making the postseason?
Yeah, I think they're going to make a deal for a right winger of some substance, like better than what they have now. And in an ideal world, they'd go out and get another defenseman and plug some of the holes they have in the roster. And, you know, not momentous moves by any means, but a couple of players that can help them. And if they do that, they're good enough to make the playoffs. I don't see how they couldn't be a playoff team. Something really catastrophic would have to go wrong with this team to not make the playoffs and for Florida or Philly to really overtake them. But I think once they get to the playoffs, they don't scare anybody. And this team has got first-round victim written all over it, which would be almost as disappointing as not making the playoffs at all.
Joe, always great to talk to you. We'll see you at the rink.
You got it, Jason. Sounds good, bud.